Hi, it's Lucy and welcome back to a bonus episode of The Real Girls Club, my podcast where I put a spotlight on the talented women working in cinema. Today, we're diving into the hauntingly beautiful short film, Diary of a Ghost, directed by the incredibly talented Caroline Heine, written by the brilliant Maren Koenigs, and starring Genevieve Schoeneur, Mia Rogers and Alfie Noble. This film is a poignant exploration of love, loss and grief. In this episode, I'll be chatting with director Caroline Heine and actor Alfie Noble about the creative process behind the film, how they captured its rich and evocative atmosphere, and what makes Diary of a Ghost such a moving and memorable experience. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's episode. So yeah, I just rewatched your film, Diary of a Ghost, and that ending is really it was really powerful, and it's really painful, actually. It's a sad ending, not what maybe I expected to happen. I thought, you know, it's like her last chapter. So I thought, you know, or she's starting a new chapter, essentially, I thought. But it's a sad movie, but an important one as well, about grief. And so about Sage, who's navigating grief following, you know, the loss of her first love, Riley. And before we get talking about that, I'd like to talk a little bit about you and your career a little bit, because you've worked on a wide range of fashion campaigns, from Puma to Barber and Vinted, and music videos. And not gonna lie, I'm a massive Dua Lipa fan, so the fact that you've met her is you've lived my dream. It's amazing. But yeah, let's not make this episode about Dua Lipa, it's about your film.
We can maybe.
But yeah, this is your second venture into cinema. Your debut short was called Last Dance, and I'm wondering what inspired you to get into pursuing filmmaking. And I'm wondering how your background in fashion and music video direction has influenced your directorial style now on short films.
I think for me, it's a little bit strange, because I went into this industry, or moved to London to study film, knowing I wanted to be a director and work in the narrative sort of traditional film world. And then I dropped out after first year of uni because it wasn't for me. And then very quickly realized that you don't go to film school or university or whatever, and then you come out of it and people give you £1 million budget to make a feature film, which I kind of naively, I guess, thought was what was going to happen. You know, if you graduate, then you make a film and you win a lot of prizes for it. So I quickly realized that that's just not the case. And I started working as crew, as a camera trainee, as a runner, as a production assistant, just whatever sort of job I could get my hands on. Mm-hmm. And knowing I wanted to be the director on set, but it was a great opportunity for me to kind of observe and learn from other people and see how, you know, a professional shoot runs. And because I've only been on student films before. Yeah, so through that, I met a lot of amazing people, a lot of amazing crew that actually worked in the industry. And, you know, I would tell them, I'm like, look, I know I'm just a camera trainee on the shoot, but I want to direct. And, you know, that would maybe be a camera assistant who was like, I'm a camera assistant, but I want to be a DP. So let's do something together. Yeah, so that's how I kind of fell into fashion and music videos and just things that are a little bit easier to execute. And, you know, sometimes that would be no budget music videos for a friend, because I'd happen to know an artist, or the DP would happen to know an artist. And I was doing a lot of fashion photography back then, so I would always chat to the people at the brand and be like, hey, if you need a campaign, just give me a little bit more money and I can shoot a really cool video for you. So that's how I kind of fell into that world, and then realized, okay, cool, there's a bit of money in that, and then there's actual money in commercials. So it's for me, it always made more sense to try and, rather than have a part-time job that's unrelated, or a full-time job that's unrelated, let me try and figure out how I can live off directing, even if it's directing other types of things for now. And it's been really, really useful, just in terms of meeting crew and learning what to do or what not to do, I guess, working under pressure. So that's been amazing. I mean, so many of the people that worked on Diary of a Ghost are people that I've shot commercials with, and hence they would, you know, be more likely to help me out on a lower budget, that kind of thing. But yeah, the ultimate goal was always to direct narrative things. I've just kind of gone into every other direction on the way.
I mean, it's all as they call it, transferable skills. And you say, it's definitely more useful to be already in the industry you want to be in, even if it's fashion or music. I mean, it's, you know, they're not that far apart, really. You know, it's directing, it's visuals, it's audiovisual. And I love that you were just I want to do this, I want to be that. You weren't, you know, afraid to say what you wanted to go on to, because I know some people can maybe be scared to say that out loud, maybe what they really want to do, especially if it's sometimes feels maybe not attainable at that moment. So that's great that, like, you know, you had that confidence to do that.
Absolutely.
Can I ask about Dua Lipa? What was it like to work on set with her?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, that entire project came about quite randomly. And yeah, it came quite as a surprise. It was quite a quiet time for me. So I was like, oh, I'm doing nothing for weeks. And then I get to do what's, you know, the biggest job of my career at that point. And yeah, no, it was fantastic. She's so lovely. She's so, so lovely to work with. I've worked with her twice now. And both times she's just so sweet, like easy to work with. The first time, the sort of video campaign we did, it was mainly a still shoot and video was very much like second priority. So we had so little time with her. And before the shoot, I was really nervous because I was like, what if she's not nice? What if she's really difficult to work with? And I only have like 10 minutes after each still set up to like shoot something really cool. But yeah, luckily she was just really sweet. Really, really sweet.
Someone that also clearly loves, you know, what she does and loves being a creative and
yeah,
very grateful for, you know, what she's got. So, and yeah, I mean, I love the sort of campaign you shot for Puma. It's just love your visual style and aesthetic as well. So what drew you to direct Diary of a Ghost? And because it's not your script, it's Maren Konigs, is that correct?
Konigs, yeah. You've got two German names, but yeah.
So what was it about her script that resonated with you?
That script, it came to me kind of in a strange way. Mara and I met working at a vintage store together like many, many years ago. And she's been writing for ages, but she's like a screenwriter. And I don't think ever really felt the urge to direct herself. And we're just chatting on the phone. She'd already moved back to Germany at that point. And she was telling me about this short film she'd written. And she was thinking of directing it herself just because she wanted to get something she'd written out there. And yeah, so we started chatting about it and I was like, why don't you send it to me? I'll take a look. And it just kind of really naturally grew from there. And I'd say from like a director's perspective, I was also really taken aback by the ending. I didn't see that coming at all. Mm-hmm. My jaw was like on the floor when I finished and I was like, she dies? She dies?
Yeah, not what I was expecting either.
Yeah, but then it was really interesting when I'd read it for the first time and it came as such a surprise. When I read it again, I was like, oh, there's all these signs and hints there that I should have probably picked up on, but they're really subtle. Mm-hmm. But knowing the ending, I can sort of piece the puzzle pieces together. And that was really interesting to me to be like, we can drop all these like little Easter eggs that somebody hopefully when they finish watching it, it comes as a surprise. But they're like, oh no, actually it tracks back. I just didn't manage to, put the puzzle together. That was definitely really interesting to me. And I think also because I'm so used to, you know, directing fashion, directing commercials where things, you don't dive super deep into the backstory of a person.
No, although some campaigns, you know, ad campaigns nowadays are quite clever and they've got quite a good story to them, especially like, I don't know, like a John Lewis Christmas campaign or something. They do try and make it into a short film.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you do get those, especially Christmas commercials where you're like, why am I crying at this 30 second?
You're like, this is not like, it's just an advert.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, why is a cute dog doing this? But to me, like I guess commercials I'm in are usually quite like quirky and playful and like don't take themselves too seriously. And I love shooting that. But again, I'm like, I do want to explore different characters and like learn about their backstory and like, how do we build this emotional story in a relatively short amount of time? And how do we tell this entire backstory of a character? And we only meet her at this very specific point in time. And the backstory is what informs her entire worldview. So to me, that was just really interesting from a direction perspective. And also working with actors, like I never get to do that. Like, you know, I'm usually, you know, I either work with models or if it's cast and actors, I meet them on the day and there's not, you know, a great sort of, let's dive into this character builder. So that was just so much fun, and I feel like that's what I learned so much as well, where I was like, oh, how do I work with these people?
Yeah, and also it's really got quite a defined beginning and an end, whereas maybe like an ad or a campaign, it's more of like a feeling or an experience as opposed to having a story or a narrative in it. So yeah, that must be
exactly. So that was really interesting for me, or like, you know, let's see how we can build something really emotional but still in a very short amount of time and tell things very sort of like, yeah, these sort of hidden Easter eggs. How can we tell the story without being super direct and in your face?
Are you more interested in writing yourself in the future on the films that you will do? And are you thinking about feature length, or are you still sort of thinking more right now, just doing more shorts and then seeing where that goes?
It's a bit of a mix of both. I actually just came out of a meeting for a short film that I've written that was shooting in like 2 weeks.
Exciting.
But it's just a very, very short. But yeah, definitely keen to get into writing. And it's some bits where like I've had some ideas sort of flying around for years, some of them, but I've just never managed to just sit down and write and sort of learn that craft. So that's definitely something I'm interested in, but I'm also very aware that that's, you know, that doesn't happen from today until tomorrow. So I've got like an outline for a feature script that's sort of based on like a real experience, which I think is probably a good thing to write in the beginning. But yeah, definitely keen to make some more shorts and then hopefully dive into long form at some point.
Yeah, exciting. Can you tell me about the process then of selecting the right cast for the film and what you look for in your actors' performances? So you've got really the three main characters. You've got Sage, Riley, and Mia, or I think I've just said her actress's
Oh yeah, that's
actual
actress
name.
Hayley. Hayley's the
Hayley, sorry. Yeah. So how did you go about, you know, were you part of that, or was it more Madden that already had an idea of the cast, or something you did
We
together?
definitely did it together. I would say like the entire process, like she was super involved and hands-on, and that was such a huge help for me to have someone I can rely on and fall back on and know that somebody's there. If, you know, I get busy, she can do stuff. If I get really busy with normal work, the other way around. Casting, when she sent me the script initially, she'd already made like a whole deck of references, of ideas, of I think just everything that was on her mind. And that was really, really useful to just sort of really see, especially the house that she had in mind. And she had a lot of character references, not so much in terms of looks or anything like that, but have you seen The Haunting of Hill House? A
No.
Netflix show. It's like a horror show. And there's this character called Nell Crane.
It's a TV show. Okay.
She's kind of haunted by these. Let's just keep it at haunted. And she was a really great character reference for Sage, where like you don't really understand for a while what it is that keeps coming to her, but clearly she's haunted by something. So that was a quality we were looking for whoever's gonna play Sage. And in terms of finding our cast, like I feel like the casting is actually something I'm most proud of. So I'd met both Genevieve and Mia briefly before. Genevieve on a random commercial shoot that I was a runner on, and she was doing some like underwater stuff.
And yeah, I read she was an athlete in the beginning of her career and already, yeah, I don't know, did some underwater. She's got underwater skills, I guess, on her CV.
She was like a Team GB synchronized swimmer, and then I think that opened the doors into doing sort of like underwater stunts, and that's how she kind of got into this industry. So yeah, that's how we met, and we just kind of stayed in touch. And Mia, kind of similar, I met her at an event, and I was like, this girl seems really cool. And I knew both of them acted, but I'd never really seen them in anything. But I sent the script to Genevieve, and we had some Zoom calls, and I could just tell that she had a really great understanding of the character, and she'd at that point recently lost some people close to her as well. So there was a very like she could draw from a lot of experiences. So that was really easy. And then for Mia's character, we knew we wanted someone that feels like the polar opposite of her. Like there's bubbly and outgoing and this sort
Yeah,
of
very bubbly.
sunshine. And again, like I hadn't really seen Mia act in anything, but I was like, just knowing her as a person, like I know that she's perfect for this. And she sent a tape in, but we didn't ask anyone else to send a tape. Because we're like, I have a really good feeling about her. So if the tape is good, we're going with her. That's how we got those two. And then Alfie was, I guess, a more traditional casting process, I guess, where like I knew some actors that could work age-wise, but I just didn't really feel like they were the one. So I was like, let me put out like a call out on Instagram and see who comes across it. And then Alfie was actually the very first person that replied to my Instagram story.
Wow, like on it.
Super quick. And I made a spreadsheet, and like I don't remember how many people sent in tapes, maybe like 10 or 15. And I looked through all of them, and I sort of made like my top five. And I was going to share those with Marin to be like, you know, and we're going to tell each other who our favorite is without discussing it first. Just be like, I like this one, I like this one. And I think both of us really liked Alfie's performance. So we were just both like, I hope she says Alfie, I hope she says Alfie. So when we were on the call,
So
we were
you're
both
on the
like,
same wavelength then.
we're literally like, three, two, one, say the name. So yeah, that's how we found Alfie, just from a self-tape and I think
Instagram.
an Instagram, and it worked perfectly. I feel like there was such a good chemistry between all of you guys, and And we only did like one brief rehearsal the week before the shoot. So there wasn't really like a long get to know each other phase. But yeah, I think when it comes to actors, like I mainly look for someone who feels reliable. Where I'm like, I feel like I can place this project into your hands and you're gonna do something great with it. And I can count on you. You can count on like you doing your research on your character and you bringing your own ideas to it that I maybe didn't see before. Like even in the rehearsal, like we were reading through the script and you know talking about like how do you see this, how do you see this line, what you know what's the subtext of this, and there were so many interesting things that they mentioned where I was like I didn't even see it from that perspective, but that is so much better than what I had in mind. So I think it's that sort of them bringing their own creativity to it rather than just me imposing something on the actors, and I think all three of them just did that so amazingly where I was like this is better than what I imagined.
Meant to be. Of course, I'd love to hear from you too, Alfie. I know we haven't got Genevieve here, but yeah, I'd love to hear your perspective as well, because it's a shame to have you here and not say anything. What was it about the short film, the idea of the story that appealed to you and attracted you to want to get involved?
It was the script more than anything. It was this. I saw the script quite early on. I think probably at the same time that I received the casting, and it was just fantastic. It was a really connected and understanding way of looking at grief, and I was really impressed by that. And I felt that there was a lot to get into, particularly with the character of Riley and him being this sort of figment of Sage's imagination, but also this ghost-like figure. And it was just a very multi-layered character that there was a lot to do with, and I was really excited by the whole thing, to be honest.
Yeah, as you say, sort of an object of our imagination or hallucinations or her sort of, as you say, her sort of haunted memories as well in a way. So yeah, while your part, I guess, is quite small towards the end, it's still a very powerful one. And what I find, and I don't know if it's done on purpose, but like at the end when Sage dies, she's got the same, you know, bullet hole on her chest that Riley does. Can you tell me more about that? I don't know if that was a decision on from you, Carrie, or
Yeah, I can go on that. To be fair, that was something that was in the script from the very beginning, to have that sort of synergy. And like there's a lot of moments in the film where we sort of see something related to Riley's death that then sort of comes back in the final scene. So for example, obviously that sort of bullet hole placement, she's wearing the same shirt, all of that, but also the entire way those scenes are shot. So for example, when we first find out like that Riley has died, that entire shot is obviously that gunshot sequence. The camera like slowly zooms out and reveals what happened, and then the entire final sequence is a similar setup. Like we have a close-up of someone's reaction and then the camera travels back to reveal what we're reacting to. Same with like the same sound design, music sort of comes back. So I wanted to create the sense of before you even see exactly what the ending is or what Haley's reacting to, you kind of feel where we're going because we've seen it before in the film, because that's exactly how Riley's death was also portrayed, and you're like, oh, I think I know where this might be going now. And then you have the final reveal, I guess. So yeah, there's a lot of these kind of like subtle matching themes and symbols in there.
I mean, I've read, you know, about other directors and, you know, talk about how they made their film. And for example, they'll say that, you know, even though they might not include a certain part of the story in the film, they'll still write a lot of like backstory just to help the actors sort of like get more into the role. When I was sort of looking at the film, you know, you've got photos of them around the house. So like the production design, there's like a good focus on like the life they had, and on her phone as well. And I'm wondering, yeah, did you provide for Sage and Riley's character, did you provide them with, you know, a backstory that they could work on to sort of build their connection that, you know, existed before? And Alfie, you can answer this as
Do you
well.
want to? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was essentially a group discussion, I think. We kind of pieced it all together. It was sort of figured out as we looked through the script and all, you know, pitched in our own ideas for the character, and it sort of pieced together that way. But heavily influenced by Myron as well, because she did have a clear idea of where these characters had come from, and what the story would be. But yeah, it was quite collaborative and open as well.
Because your experience is more previously in theatre. Is this your first sort of venture into short films and films, or yeah, is this a new
It's not,
experience?
to be honest, I've done quite a few short films, but this was one I was particularly drawn to because of the strong themes, to be honest. I've experienced grief, and this was one of the first scripts that I've scene that just had a whole different perspective on it and a really clear understanding. And just it was a very brave film. I think it's...
Yeah, story to tell and everything.
Absolutely, yeah. It's quite different to another way of showing grief.
Yeah, as you say, everyone's sort of experienced grief in their life at some point to different degrees. And I'm wondering, Caroline, were there any specific elements of the story that you incorporated that you thought this will connect to everyone? Because, you know, maybe, yeah, everyone's type of grief is not the same, or maybe not everyone experiences it the exact same. Whereas I feel like with this film, like, it could be understood to anyone, really, whether they've been through something similar or not.
Yeah, it's actually really interesting that you say that, because even in, you know, and that's something, again, that Maren had kind of in her ideas from the beginning of, you know, it's something that's we don't really talk about a lot, or it's very uncomfortable to talk about, but at the same time it's probably the only thing everybody will experience at some point in their life. So it's strange that we struggle so much to kind of share those experiences or thoughts or struggles. And even while prepping for the film, you know, we'd obviously talk about this topic a little bit more, and then just working with my crew, and again, like, these are people that I've been working with for a while, and like, some of them are really good friends of mine, and then suddenly I'd hear stories from them of like, oh yeah, this has happened in the past, and this has happened in the past, and I'd be like, I've known you for years and I had no idea, because we just don't talk about these things. And suddenly, just preparing for this film and this shoot, all these stories come up naturally. So like, oh wow, the film, even though it doesn't exist yet, is already doing what we hope it does when it's done, just amongst our group of people. And yeah, so I think there's a lot of, I think everyone just ended up bringing something very personal to it, whether that was, you know, spoken about or just a feeling they brought into whatever, you know, whether they were acting or doing production design or makeup or whatever. And I think it's also like a, I don't know, you can obviously take it quite abstract of like, you know, you can grieve people or times that are still around, but just not by you anymore. You've just lost them to whatever it is, distance. And I think that's also something nice with, you know, the scene between Sage and Riley, of like his, or like his spirit or his ghost or whatever you want to see him at, is right there, but it's probably the loneliest she could possibly be, because he's so far away at the same time. So yeah, I think there was a moment when we were shooting that scene of them at the sofa where like I was crying by my monitor. And I was like, and we were like under so much time pressure because we had to leave the location. I was like, oh, we're trying to shoot this emotional scene in like 45 minutes. And I'm like crying behind my monitor. And at some point I was looking at a good friend of mine, Oda. She was taking the unit stills and BTS. And I think she was also like, oh, tears in my eyes. I think that's when we're all like, okay, I think it's working. I think it's working.
I also thought, you know, there's obviously some really clever editing as well to give that kind of insight into Sage's mind, how she's sort of seeing things, you know, is it an object of her imagination or is he really there? And sort of focuses on, you know, when she's in the pub with Hayley and she's, you know, looking at her hands and she can hear the people sort of around her, like, sort of focus on those different elements showing that in her head things aren't quite going that great to be honest. So yeah, did you work quite closely with the editor to bring across that kind of almost surrealist effect?
Yeah absolutely. So again, Serena is someone I work with wherever I can. She's done a lot of like fashion, music, commercial projects with me, so she's my absolute go-to person. And what we did was I gave all the footage and she made like a first assembly just by herself, and then afterwards I was in like every single clay. I was just sitting next to her. And because I used to edit myself when I was starting out, mainly just because I didn't know and couldn't afford an editor, not because I wanted to edit. I'm in pre-production, like I plan very, very intensely. So I have like a copy of the script somewhere where I have every shot planned out and every single line in the script. I'm like, we're on a wide, we're on a close-up, we're on this shot, this is a detail. Mm-hmm. And I gave that to Serena. So there's kind of like a blueprint that we can follow that, you know, hopefully works in theory. And then she would put it together and then we'll just like, okay, how do we actually make this better? Because I guess, you know, the theory and what you actually end up shooting is always two different things. And Serena is amazing at just finding these like absolute gems where I'm like, I would have never even thought of making this sort of transition or like matching these things, or like your eye is here, so let's find a shot that has a similar thing. So she's amazing at just kind of looking at the footage, which was amazing, but finding the actual gold nuggets within that. But yeah, I was in the edit loads, and I feel like it teaches me a lot as a director, just to see where I'm like, okay, how does something come together? Or like, how could we have shot this differently that would make the edit flow a bit easier in the end? So I feel like that's always just also a learning opportunity for whatever project comes next.
I mean, yeah, the editing is such a big part. It really could make a film completely different, you know, depending on how it's edited and how it's cut. Was there a certain amount of preparation, Alfie, for the role? Or was it all sort of personal, you know, personal experience and sort of diving into your own kind of personal emotions, or just a lot of rehearsing?
It's kind of a mixture, to be honest, of all those things. Yeah, there was every role that you kind of approach differently. This one, because the themes are so heavy, you have to be quite careful in the way you approach it, and you don't want to draw too much on personal experience because then it can sort of cloud the whole thing. So it was kind of finding the right balance, prep and experience. And as Carrie said, we didn't have a huge amount of rehearsal time. We had a day where me, Genevieve and Carrie were all sort of going through it, and then we had the day to shoot it and kind of managed to replicate what we found in the rehearsal period. A lot of things you just sort of, you find in the moment as well. And Carrie was wonderful, and she sort of, even although we were limited on time, she'd give us the time, and you know, she'd let the scene breathe and give it what it would need.
Yeah. See what you could bring, you know, in the moment, maybe through improvisation or any ideas you might have had in the moment itself.
Absolutely.
So looking back on the journey of creating Diary of a Ghost, and now, you know, it's in the festival circuit, and, you know, it's already been seen by, I'm assuming, quite a lot of people so far. And you're saying it's been received well so far. I mean, at least on set, you know, it was already starting to provoke emotions in the team. So I can imagine it will have the same effect on people going to see it. Is there a particular moment or aspect of the making of the film that you're most proud of that you'd like to talk about, or your sort of favorite part of the whole experience?
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, it's been such a ride. Like, I feel like, again, for me, it's so normal that, you know, you find out a project, shoot it, and it's out within like a month or so. So working on something just for such a long amount of time was really nice, and to really get to know everyone and like figure out together like how to make it the best version it can be. But I think my biggest learning, and something that just really pleasantly surprised me, was just to listen to my own gut a little bit more. I think especially in casting that came out, where I was like, I just feel really good about these people. And we had a similar situation with the producer who I'd never worked with before, met her at an event, and I was like, I have a really good feeling about this girl. And she was amazing. So things like that just kind of kept happening, where we're like, wow, things are just falling into place, and we keep finding the right people that are just bring so much to the project. So I think that was just really nice to then see it come alive in the end.
And for you, Alfie?
I enjoyed the whole process, to be honest. It was a really lovely crew, really lovely team to work with. And I just hope I get to work with a lot of the same people again.
Great, fantastic. And for both of you, what's next for you both? Future projects and other films, anything you can talk about?
So I'm in prep for a little short film, which is like a psychological horror. So venturing out into the genre.
I think that's like one of my favorite genres, probably.
I do love a little bit of suspense. And yeah, it's a straight eight project, so a little bit more low key than Diary of a Ghost.
A straight eight, so did you say?
Yeah, it's like a film competition where you have to shoot a full short film just on one roll of film, and you don't do post-production, you have to shoot the edit. So it's quite a challenge, but people have a really cool concept. So we're doing that in like 10 days.
Exciting, that'll be fun. And for you, Alfie?
I'm currently performing in Witness for the Prosecution at County Hall, which is a classic Agatha Christie sort of courtroom drama.
Exciting for both of you. Cool. Well, I'll definitely look out for your short film. I'm not sure if I can come to your play because I am not there, but I wish you all the best with the play. That was great. Thank you so much for answering all my questions today. And that's a wrap for today's bonus episode of The Real Girls Club. A huge thank you to Caroline Heine and Alfie Noble for joining me and sharing their insights into the making of Diary of a Ghost. If you haven't watched the film yet, I highly recommend it. It's a stunning piece of work that will stay with you long after the credits roll. Also, there will be a screening and panel discussion on the 7th of April at the Close Up Cinema in London. I've added all the details in the podcast episode description, so be sure to check it out if you want to experience this short film on the big screen and hear more from the incredible team behind it. As always, thank you for tuning in and supporting women in cinema. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your fellow film lovers. You can follow me on social media at Real Girls Club on Instagram for updates, behind the scenes content, and more. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you in the next one.